Hi, this is Jackie Wicks with Peer Trainer, and I'm here with Joshua Wayne. And we want to talk about something that we often see when people get to this stage, when they're at the point of no return. You know, they've gone almost past the tipping point. They have the knowledge about what they do, the high nutrient way of life, but it's not even that they have the knowledge anymore. You have the knowledge, you have some great thinking, but most importantly, most of the time you do it. Most of the time, you're picking really great foods for yourself. Most of the time, you're working out in the way that you really enjoy. You found a sport that you like, or you found movement that you like. And so much of the time, you've also improved your thinking. When you're upset about something, you're like, okay, you know, this is just life. This is all part of the process. And for most of your life, you're pretty functional in terms of this. You've reached this point. You know how to get to the weight that you want, or maybe even if you're not at the weight that you want, you know that you're on the right trajectory and that you're doing the right things. But here's what I've seen is that once you've gotten to this point, you get even more annoyed with yourself when you don't do what you're supposed to be doing. It just happened to me last night. I made this huge vat of some of the best food that I've made. It was broccoli and spinach and red onions. For me, this was delicious. And I had done some ginger, and I had sort of made it a little bit of a Thai dish. It was really high nutrient food, and I was eating it, and I'm not kidding, it tasted like health. My son said, "What are we going to call this dish, Mommy?" And I said, "I don't know." And he says, "Well," I said, "I love when you name things. Name it for me." And he says, "Well, you know, what does it taste like?" And I said, "It tastes like health. It tastes like I want to go run 5 miles." And he started laughing, saying, "How can something taste like that, Mommy?" But it did. Now, I ate something that was incredible, but what did I go do? I had had a huge bowl of pasta there, and I end up eating it for no reason. It's kind of like the person that's at work, and they just brought a huge thing of chocolate chip cookies that was catered for some other meeting or some other event, and they're just sitting there in the break room. And you're sitting there, and you know better, but not only do you know better, you usually don't do this. Most of the time, 70 to 80% of the time, you're just going to pass up on the cookies. But what's the strangest thing that happens sometimes is sometimes you don't. And it sort of reminds me of that Dr. Seuss book, because most of the time, you know, 98.5%, you know, 99% you'll succeed, but sometimes you won't. You know, bang-ups and hang-ups happen to you. And you're sitting there going, why am I still doing this? Most of the time I don't do this. And it can also take the form of a couple ways. It can be where a day or two, you just keep making less than good choices, things that you know that you shouldn't be doing that don't make you feel good, and it builds on each other. And sometimes you can have a huge binge in the evening. And when I say huge binge, I mean all the stuff that maybe you did years ago or maybe you did 6 months ago, huge blocks of cheese, huge blocks of chocolate. Maybe you've drank some wine, just things that you're just not normally doing. And the reason that I'm bringing all this stuff up is because, of course, there are times you're going to go to a wedding and you're going to have a fabulous meal and you say, you know what, this is fabulous food and I just like it and this is what I'm going to do. I'm talking about a very different circumstance. I'm talking about a circumstance where you're sitting there and eating it and you're going, why am I doing this? This is not something I do anymore. What's wrong with me? And you feel that irritation and you start to really beat yourself up and you don't stop.
You know, and it's interesting because the temptation is always there to keep saying, well, why did I do this? You know, what's the matter with me? Why do I keep doing this? And I certainly understand the desire to ask that question. And at the same time, it's really more often than not, it's not the most useful question you can be asking yourself. Because it just sends you back into the past over and over and over again, just trying to figure out a why. And there may not be a real answer to that question. And even if there is an answer to that question, what's really more important is trying to figure out what you're going to do next. Because Jackie's really starting to get at the crux of the matter, which is you start beating yourself up about this. And it's like you may even carry this throughout the rest of your day and even for a day or two. Why do I keep doing this? I'm doing so well most of the time. And then I just keep shooting myself in the foot and just screwing it up over and over again. and you beat yourself up, but it just isn't a productive train of thinking to find yourself on. And what you have to start to realize is you got to get really skillful and really good at moving on. I mean, that's really the mantra. It's like, you move on. And you have to realize that every time this happens, you are at a fork in the road, no pun intended. And you have to make one of two choices. You know, you're either going to beat yourself up about it, and you know what that's like, and you know where that goes, and how that plays out over the next day. Or you forgive yourself, you give yourself a hug or a pat on the back or however you want to think about it, and you move on. And when I say forgive yourself, I'm not talking about pulling out the journal and writing down the 10 reasons why you should forgive yourself and why you're worthy and all that kind of stuff. I'm talking about, in the moment, just realizing that you have to make this choice. You're going to go one of two directions with it. If you have a child, let's say a 4-year-old, and they're coloring in the coloring book, and they draw outside the lines, and they start to beat themselves up about it. They start to cry, and they start to say, I always do this. Why do I draw outside the lines? I'm trying to stay inside the lines. I keep doing this, and they cry, and they're, Mommy, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? Think about how you're going to respond to the child when they're doing that. You're going to give them a hug. You're going to give them a kiss. You're going to tell them it's no big deal, that they can try, that they're going to get it. It takes practice. It takes time, and they're going to do better next time. And you're going to help them forgive themselves, be easy on themselves, and move on. And I'm talking about bringing the same level of patience, of support, and just quick, easy, move on, put your attention on something positive, moving in a positive direction with yourself, the same way you do with your child. This is the oldest cliche in the book, but it's like, don't cry over spilt milk. It's just spilt milk. Wipe it up and move on. Start moving back in the positive direction. So the temptation may be there to say, well, why am I doing this? But what we're saying here is the more important question is, what do I need to be doing next? What's the next thing to do to move myself in the positive direction, get back on track? Because you always got to be making that next choice in a positive direction. And that's really, in many ways, what you got to get like super skilled at doing, is making that next choice quickly, without beating yourself up, get on a positive track.
Collapsing the time that it takes for you to make a good choice, because you're at the point, right, that many of the times you do make a good choice, but sometimes you're beating yourself up of, why didn't I just do this sooner? I know better than that. And that kind of thinking actually is what is taking you off track. It's saying, you know what? You now have the tools to be able to collapse this more quickly. It's interesting when Joshua was just talking about the whole coloring and the lines. We all know for children, it's a process. They do color out of the lines. You don't magically be able to sit down and be able to color. And that's what you need to keep remembering, that these bang-ups and hang-ups, they really are all a part of it. And what happens is that when you color out of the lines or bang-up happens, you finally experienced it, and you're able to remember that next time. When you're sitting there going, wow, why did I do this? It happened before. And then you say, you know what? And that's exactly where I'm going to move on to the next thing I want you to do. You know what? When I binged all night and then I woke up and I had a really good breakfast, I felt better. You finally have that experience to draw on, which is exactly what's bringing me to the second thing. I sound like a total broken record with this stuff. And you just heard me say I had a really high nutrient broccoli, spinach. I was full. But I can't reiterate enough. I want you, when this happens, when you had some chocolate chip cookies in the, maybe you went out, I don't know what happened, but when you made some bad choices, I want you to have as high nutrient breakfast as possible. What do I mean about high nutrient breakfast, and what's a specific example? I want you to have one of the best things you can have is an egg omelet, an omelet with a lot of vegetables. You take a big pan, whatever's in your freezer, you can just access that. You don't have to make special trips. And I want you to pick things. If you don't like broccoli, I'm not asking you to have a broccoli omelet just to make a better choice. I want you to have some vegetables that you like. Many people like mushrooms, tomatoes. You can put zucchini, is wonderful in eggs. I want you to have as high nutrient breakfast as possible. And of course, many people love it with omelets. You can sprinkle it with some salsa. You know, other people have, you know, some beans and some salsa and, some avocado. Other people, you know, can do a smoothie. I would prefer that you are a little bit more relaxed with the fruit because the fruit has a lot of sugar. Again, it's not that it doesn't have high nutrients, but remember, after you've had a binge or after you have had a poor choice, again, it's like a drug. You had a little drug, and the next morning, after you've gone out, and what is the best hangover lunch people remembered is a large Coke and a cheeseburger and fries. I want you to get to the point where you're picking a high nutrient breakfast so that you're letting the drug sort of leave your system, right? And that's what I want you to do for breakfast. And a requirement for lunch, you must pick a salad or some soup. You can have other things, but I want you to have a huge salad or huge soup before. Now, if you can do that for breakfast, and many other cultures do that for breakfast. I mean, in Japan, they have salads. In Italy, they actually have scrambled eggs over a salad. And in France, you know, that beautiful, you know, mustard dressing salad they have. So if you can do this for breakfast, I would like you to. But if you can't seem to get that going, one of the best ways I've really seen people do is that egg omelet with vegetables. Again, I sound like a broken record, but there's a reason I'm saying it. You have to. Choices involve three things. They're all intertwined. It involves changing some of your thinking when we're talking about moving on. It involves movement, getting the oxygen going into your system, and it also involves making good food choices. So these three things are intertwined, and when you start to move in a better direction, it's because you're making distinctions in all the three categories.
And what we're going to do is because, and Jackie just named those three things which are very important, and at the same time, we all know that life comes up and there's challenging situations, sort of those little landmines in the middle of any given day where something can throw you off. You know, and a lot of times for a lot of us, if somebody, frankly, really pisses us off, it could be husband or wife, it could be your child's school teacher, it could be the checkout person at the supermarket. And what we want to do is actually build a part two to this call, and we're going to do that next week, so that when you find yourself in one of those situations where someone really ticks you off, how you can just deal with it quickly and positively so you don't go into a tailspin with the Cheez-Its in your pantry, because it's so common to just get knocked off balance by even just like the smallest, would seem like the most like simple interactions, but they can totally, totally break your momentum and throw you off. So we want to really focus on how to deal with that really constructively, simply, so you can move on from that as well with a positive trajectory.
And isn't that sometimes what happens when you find yourself having gone off track a little bit or a binge? Isn't it sometimes because of an interaction or something that happened? I mean, this is what we're really going to focus on, how to deal with that frustration and that anxiety and learn how to collapse the time that you're going to make that good choice. Because remember, you already know how to make the good choices, right? This is about building so that you can collapse the time before you make that good choice. So with that, we'll see you next week. We're really psyched to teach you some of those tools. And, we'll see you then.
Bye-bye.